朋友们，欢迎来到 Club Dave， 一个地方，雨可以为我们而下。
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
Roth Radio.Live in the studio, my good friend Stan the Man, who knows rock and roll from the inside out. How are you this morning, Stan?
All right, Dave.
Can you hear him over there? Get his pipes up there. Say hello, Stan.
Whoa, hey, how you doing?
That's me. That's me you turned up there, Hutch.
That should be Stan.
How you
whoa,
doing,
whoa,
Dave?
Whoa. You are flaring my headset.
You hear me now?
No, it's the Infinity setup in here. This is all from like the 80s. A lot like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Actually, nobody ever says about the Rolling Stones, it's a 60s band. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
No, when Motley Crue does the reunion, that's an 80s band. When Bon Jovi does a thing, that's an 80s band, right? And they never kind of transcended. But the Stones, nobody ever says, hey, one of the best 60s bands ever. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. They started in the 60s, and I just found out some stuff, too. You know, they used to hang out with the Beatles in the beginning.
And did they compete with each other, or did they have two very different views?
Well, they actually did sort of compete, but they were, like, they would talk to each other about, you know, when each one had a single coming out, so they didn't conflict with each other.
Okay, so that's detente between two different countries, right?
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. So who would you have rather been in, the Beatles or the Stones?
The Stones, definitely.
Well, that's the more fun.
Yeah, because they were the bad boys, you know.
You think they're still bad boys?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Of course. Do you think Keith Richards is as good today as he used to be?
I think so.
Okay, because we have the new album here, all right? Mm-hmm. And you listen to the new album. Stan is one of my guitar buddies. You know, we jam routinely. I know him from Ludlow Guitars. Hey, Bob, how are you? I told you he could give you a free pitch down there. And we bring Stan in here because we're broadcasting a lot of classic rock stuff. You hear a lot of hip-hop, a lot of trip-hop, and a lot of funk in the backgrounds on the loops and stuff. But I got a pretty diverse taste in music, and I said, let's review the new Stones album, because they're at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, tonight.
Yeah,
tonight and Friday.
They never go away. That's so cool, isn't it?
I know.
And they're
definitely
still filling the stadiums and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Play the first cut here, Touch, and let's see what we got here. Swing on it. Go. Turn it off. I'm already bored. What do you think?
I tell you the truth. I liked it. You know.
Why do you like that?
Well, you know, it's typical Stones. You know, it's driving rock and roll.
That's not typical Stones.
But
these are guys who used to be the Stones, who are distracted with a whole lot of politics, family affairs, and financial structure. The Stones were very, very focused on what they were doing. This is dummy rock. Go ahead, play the riff. Go ahead. He's just heard it one time. Play it up there. Hit it up. Watch, and I'll sing and I won't even use words. Here we go. I used to do that for a living. No, these guys are distracted. You hear it right away in the music. I purposely did not listen to this record until just this second here, right? You know that. Well, I had Sasha open the package here, like, you know, a gift here. And what I'm hearing there is just simplistic, not a lot of homework. Sort of we walked into the studio and tried to play the studio.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, simple rock and roll.
Simple,
you know,
rock and roll.
But not geriatric rock and roll, you know what I mean? Since
okay.
Since they're so old now, you know?
It's not geriatric sounding. It just sounds unfocused. Sounds like they're not putting a lot of effort into
their
stuff.
Yeah, right. It's not very complicated.
Same thing happened with Madonna on the last one. You can tell. There's a lot of distractions in that girl's life. It shows up in the music. Play the next track there, Hutch. Hit it. Go ahead, man. Same stuff. Stop it, Nick. Who's writing this stuff?
Mick and Keith?
Well, no, but look at the titles. What's the first song? The first song was Infamy.
No, Rough Justice. You got to
That was the lead
tricky
cut.
Booklet. You know,
I'm so sick of tricky booklets.
But you know what's so hard too? Trying to read. They put all the letters together, and like on the back of the CD, you need like a magnifying glass to look at.
I can tell you what happened is they look at the print type, and they look at the what they call the pre-production art stuff on great big boards, like cardboard pieces that are about the size of what used to be a record album cover, okay? And all the print looks fine in that size. What most people aren't thinking about is that with digital printing now, you know, with laser jet printing and everything, you can make perfect printing so small that you literally need a microscope to read it. I've saved purposely, I've got some European thrash punk whatever records where the print is so small it's absolutely indecipherable. It's a common mistake. Does this record have the songs on the actual disc? How many times did you go and you buy a disc and some art geek was going way long? Is it on there? Are the songs written on there?
Right down the bottom.
Yeah, well, where's my microscope? That's the disclaimer that says copyrighted by whatever and ever. Are there actual song titles on the disc?
No, there isn't.
No, okay. Actually, it's just the credits.
Credits
and the album stuff. Yeah.
So as we go along, then let's make sure we memorize every freaking title so that when we throw away the plastic jewel case and put it in the case logic like I do 7 years from now, I can go, oh, sure, Hutch, track 6. Hit track 3, Hutch. Go for it.
That was Let Me Down Slow.
Who cares? Hit track 3. Go ahead.
Track 3.
While we're young and good looking, Hutch.
There you go.
Demo. That's actually Brian in the background.
Yeah.
I woke up for a second.
Yeah.
Let's listen. Turn it off. I'm bored.
That's called It Won't Take Long.
Excuse me. It don't take long. I spent a year there 1 minute. What's the next one? Come on.
Okay, cut number 4.
Here we go. I like it.
Different.
Rain Fall Down.
Oh, this is the video.
It was
the
video. They blind right. Flats. Trash was on the floor.
A snake was in my nose. Off the door. Come on, Mick, wake up. Wake up, Mick.
She took me in her room. I was big and span.
Okay, what you do when you don't have a melody is you twist the words. You go, in your room. Because there's really nothing going on there. When you got a skinny little tree, you put a lot of tinsel on it. Or do you like this song, Stan? What do you think?
Well, I like this song a little better than the other ones, but I don't know. It's... You know, now that you bring out a lot of points about this, there really isn't much here.
It sounds like a demo to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like they didn't put the work in. These are guys who have a lot of other things on their plate. They got families. They got corporations. They got kids. They got supposed kids. They got... No, these are people who are not focused on exactly what they're doing. I love it when they go on tour or whatever. And again, same thing happened with Madonna. She's got a whole nother world. When these people are focused, the music is so much better. Hit the next track there, Hutch. Go for it.
The Streets of Love.
Okay.
This is the ballad, I think.
What was your first clue? Mangy... You're so mangy.
You're awful bright. You're awful smart. I must admit, you broke my heart.
These are lyrical felonies.
Yeah, right? Truth.
It's really sad. I must admit, I was awful bad.
Okay, stop. These are lyrical felonies. You could be sent to poetry prison for this.
Oh,
you could have your pencil taken away for up to 17 years for this, Stan. For even possessing this disc. Oh, yeah. Moon in June, that's a misdemeanor. But this, I was so bad. Well, that lands you right in the thick of it, man.
I was like planning on giving them a good review. Maybe I could get some tickets out of here, but
you can go ahead and give them a good review on Roth Radio.
You know what? I'm curious about how much of this stuff they would actually do live. That's what I would be curious about going to the show.
You're only going to do live, what, maybe two of these songs?
Possibly
three, because half of the time you can't really decipher the language unless you know the songs in advance. Anybody who's ever been to a hip-hop concert, which is super lyric dependent, if you don't know it in advance, you'll never be able to sit at the 50-yard line in Madison Square Garden and figure out what Jay-Z is singing. Wow, that was a sentence.
I know they do Rough Justice in concert. They did that up in Boston at
Fenway. And did we hear Rough Justice, or was that Rough Justice?
That was the first cut.
This whole encounter is Rough Justice. I love the Stones. Guys, get off your big ass. Play the next song. Go ahead.
I think they did this one in concert too. I think
Swing
this is
on
my
it.
Favorite.
Back of my hand. Some good slide guitar there.
Okay. I sat with, I'm not going to say which members of the Stones, in 1981 at the end of the tour of Van Halen. And we played it, what was it? It was somewhere in Florida. I think it was Orlando, Florida. We played a stadium there. That's the picture that's on the back of Fair Warning. No, it's Diver Down. There's a big football stadium there. And I partied at the hotel with a couple of the Stones. Geez, we started at about 1 in the morning, and I finally made it back to my hotel at 2 in the afternoon the next day, okay? And this is the garbage that we sat around and jammed on. The only thing missing here is the 8 ball and the 2 strippers. Okay, next play.
She saw me coming.
What do you think the title is? This song is sucker.
Hey.
Stop. What do you think, Stan?
Boring,
good syllable.
Boring.
Good syllable. Got me through the 80s as a direct result of the 70s when my favorite syllable was, whoa. And I listened to a lot of Stones records at at that time, you know. I love the Stones, and I find it a little bit disappointing that they didn't finally top out on this. Why is everybody saying that this is the best Stones album in 20 years?
I guess that's saying a lot. They haven't done too much in 20 years, you know.
They're just been touring.
If you ask me, I think, you know, to be honest with you, like when Mick Taylor left the band, that, you know,
everything changed.
Everything definitely changed.
This is interesting. So they just spent all of their time really just touring. They didn't pay attention. Do you think Van Halen, if we got back together, would make a reasonable album, or would it be a disappointment?
No, I think you guys would do something good. Considering hearing the two songs that you did on the Best Of.
I have half a dozen demos that I finished the vocals on with Eddie a couple of years ago on the second Phelan of Van Halen. Right. And the music is amazing. It sounds like it came off of the first album, red smoking hot. And I think that's the reason Eddie didn't use it on the last Phelan of Van Halen with Sammy Hagar, because the stuff is so good. And it is in the vocals and the lyric content of it is just right out of the thing. Because Eddie doesn't have anything else in his life. Mm-hmm. Now that he got his divorce and everything, he's focused. He always stays focused. That kid was never really married. And there was that music was just smoking. You know what? I wonder if I could actually play that. If my voice is on those demos, can I play those demos over the air? That's an interesting question, because this stuff will change your freaking haircut.
I'd love to hear it.
Oh, it's off the map. Instant 10 million. Serious. And that is so rare. And I was thinking, you know what? I bet you they used that stuff with Hagar. I'm not surprised. He couldn't have sung it. And the material was way, way, way too good. If they had put my name on there for writing those songs, ouch. They would be destined for something very different than the Rockstar Show. You think they should go and get a new singer on that show like NXS did?
Oh, on that Rockstar Show? I don't know, man. That's kind of tacky, man.
I understand that they may be doing that.
Really? Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Wow.
I've heard this word around the campfire is that...
I guess things, they must be getting desperate then.
The last greatest hits I did with them, we did a little over 2.5 million just around, you know, good friends and personnel in the country. And their last album with Sam, you know, they mixed in the stuff, and I think they did $500,000 on that. They list it as platinum because there's actually two discs inside the package. God, you gotta love the record companies. Play the next tune up there. Go ahead. This is called Biggest Mistake?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll do... No, wait. I know a word that rhymes with mistake. Print it down. Turn it down. Go again from the top, and I'm going to sing... with the music, I can come up with a much better lyric already from some other song. There was an old country western song called Feed Jake, and I'll do that to this, the opening tune. Okay, here we go.
Ready?
Swing. Now I lay me down to sleep. I play the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, feed Jake. He was a good dog. See, it's better. I'm focused. Stood by me through it all. Feed Jake. Next song. Come on, Hutch. Wake it up. Wake it up. Wake it up. It's actually not Hutch. It's the Stones this time.
Slave driver.
And look at all. Look what it says here. Stones are old. Stones suck. Stones are losing. I'm just reading the phone list here. I didn't even ask for phones, and it has solicited this kind of reaction. Wow. You know what? Play the next tune. Go ahead.
Walk right in. Sit on down and make yourself at home.
Okay, this is Keith Richards singing, right?
Yeah.
Come on, baby, you're just like me, and you hate.
Turn it off. Here we go. Okay. This is called This Place is Empty. What's he pointing at? Okay.
You know, I think he should start maybe mainlining Geritol or something.
No, I think that they need a producer. I love the Stones.
Don was produced this. You know?
Don was produced this?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think the Stones settle for anybody actually producing. I think that they bring in whatever, you know, the best name possible at the time. Mick is always up on what's happening. And they bring
Stick
that in. And then they boss him around.
Okay.
You follow? Because you hear it in the sound here. Anybody, I don't care if you're running track or if you're playing bass, does 10% better if you got a real good coach. If you got somebody who's behind you going, hey, Clapton, wake up.
Yeah.
Mick, what are
you
thinking? You know, you need that. You always got it for the Van Halens. It was Teddy Templeman. You know, I worked with great producers. I've had very good luck with that. I was just on the phone doing some talking with, like, Bob Clearmountain. He may be involved in some stuff coming up with music for us. You know, he's a fellow produced all kinds of great material. Nile Rodgers, etc. Right. And those people always push you an extra 10%. You know, it's like the Jewish guy in Chariots of Fire who hires Mr. Vendramini or whatever, the Italian coach, that they won't let into the stadium, and he does that much better because of it. I believe in that. And if it's not your coach, it's your wife or your girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That inspiration comes from somewhere. I got no problem with Keith sounding like he's falling apart. I think there's something really beautiful about a thing once it starts to decay. Look at all the buildings where I live. No, really. I don't want them to get better. I like the rock stars who burn their candle not only at both ends, but take a Junior Miss flamethrower to their candle. 27 times the light, one third the time. Let's see if the next song can light up. Give me one more tune here. Go for it. Okay. Oh, no, not you again. Should have been the title of the album. Hey, I'm sorry. Money is hard to come by. It's more expensive than ever before. All right? And if you're going to put the time in, really put the time in. This sounds like unfocused. Yeah. I believe they have the talent. I think they have the capacity. What they need is what the great football coach Bear Bryant said is want to. I hear a lack of want to here. Oh No, Not You Again. What's the actual name of the album, Stan?
The Big Bang.
A Bigger Bang.
Bigger Bang.
How many times you listen to this?
About maybe 2 times.
And are you going to listen to it again?
Probably not, no.
I love this stuff.
I'm going to go home and listen to, like, Get Your Eyes Out.
Bingo.
You know.
Bingo.
Probably one of the best top 10 live albums, I think, ever.
Or Let It Bleed,
yeah.
Any of those?
Oh, yeah.
Those were all great stuff because they were focused. I think the Stones still have it in them. Come on, this generation stretches our adolescence out like a chiclet to the moon, baby.
Right.
You just got to stay focused so you don't fall off the edge.
They're making so much money, you know, playing live, you know. They don't even work hard on the, you know, the studio stuff.
Yeah, they're making so much money. You make it sound like an affliction.
Yeah.
Dave, can I ask you, when they put an album out like this and they've got such a catalog of stuff and you know that they're going to play maybe 3 or 4 songs from the new album at the concerts, aren't these albums sort of commercials to get people to go to the concerts?
Theoretically, it's a way to get a video onto the screen. It's a way to get the commercials going on the radio and whatnot. And, you know, you were talking about what 3 songs that they would play from this record. Well, they no longer have drum solos in concerts anymore. So you would wait for these 3 songs and use that to go to the bathroom.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings. And this is Drunks. This is your brain on drugs. This is your brain on drugs with 2 strips of bacon. This is your brain on drugs with 1 pound of ground beef, 1 can of crushed tomatoes, 1/2 cup of milk, and 1 bay leaf. This is your brain on drugs, with a street crew working in the next brain. And this is your brain on drugs when you've left it on the stove too long, and it caused a kitchen fire that spread to the neighborhood of your brain. Any questions? The Partnership for a Brain-Free America.
It's the David Lee Roth Show. This is your brain on drugs.
I like the bay leaf.
You like with a bay leaf. That's Harry Shearer, who did, he does the voices on, whatchamacallit,
The Simpsons.
Right?
Or as Anna Nicole calls them, the Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Wow, we got a whole lot of stuff that happened there with the Stones. Somebody just told me that the ticket price up in front is like $450 to go see the Stones. I love the Stones. They're very much worth it. I'm a little disappointed in the latest burnt offering called a record there, but...
I like how Stan thought he liked it until you informed him that he didn't like it.
There's a strong resolve.
It's the power of radio, Brian. It is the power of radio. I don't know. I hear stuff like that, and I wonder, you know, it makes me want to commit suicide. Not really, but it's a good segue. Washington. The Supreme Court upheld Oregon's one-of-a-kind physician-assisted suicide law Tuesday, rejecting a Bush administration attempt to punish doctors who help terminally ill patients die. Talk to me about this, Robin. Is Bush preventing, what do they call it, euthanasia, right?
Not in Oregon, and I say bravo. And I can't even imagine why suicide would be... a problem for anybody, but to me it's a stepping stone to finally separating church from state. That we have one state where it's allowed, where you can have a doctor's assistance. I think that's a personal decision that everybody has the right to make, and I think that by calling it a sin, which, you know, is a religious...
That's a religious inflection.
Yes, and it goes back, but the fact that the government supports that it's a sin, It drives me insane.
So it's church and state.
It's church and state. It's the religious right that supports the government, that supports the oil companies, that supports the government.
No, you're spinning off into breakfast nonsense here. Sorry.
Baloney.
Sorry.
No way.
No way. What's happening here is the doctors themselves are intervening. It's not the government. It's the doctors themselves who don't want any onus on their record. They want nothing on the resume. They're terrified of lawsuits. They're malpractices. insurance has gone up way through the church ceiling to a degree where many of them have had to change their practice. My father did because of his malpractice stuff. He finally had to go work in the prison system because it was so sky high. It's the doctors, the first line of defense there, who resolve against that instantly and conglomerately. You will have a hard time finding any physician who's going to come on a radio show like this and speak on behalf of euthanasia. You're back.
Well, once it becomes legal, and once there's legal terminology and you have lawyers involved, it'll be like prenups, where the doctors will be protected. It'll be part of their insurance.
Not going to happen.
I sure hope it does.
Not going to happen, and I hope it does, too. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. There's also a major issue, for example, in Holland, where they have status for euthanasia. And you know what's happening? This is going to freak you. Kids are convincing their parents to commit euthanasia when they get too old and they become a burden on the family. A lot of folks are living together in there. You have two and three generations, like we do downtown, living in very small places. You know what the typical Dutch domicile looks like. It's like an elevator, all right? And you have kids who are Sasha's age here, you know, our intern, convincing grandma, hey, take a load off the family, will you? You know, you got a whole lot of in care. You have a whole lot of issues as far as permanent health monitors, you know, individuals who have to live there, nurses and doctors. It's an amazing expense, a kind of expense that'll bankrupt most families if you have a prolonged illness. What do you think?
What's your point?
My, want the inheritance. Sooner.
My point is
I'm
that
joking. It, I'm joking. I mean, I get your point.
My point is, it's dangerous if you do legalize it, because then people will use it on the unwanted members of the family. I'm going to take both sides of the coin here. You follow?
I just don't.
You're struggling.
I mean,
wouldn't the person need to have to be of sound mind to be able to make their own decision for themselves?
That's what it's going to boil down to. And it's probably going to boil down to a decision that you make long before an imminent death. It's going to be like a living will type thing.
We'll be making that decision at our age.
That's right.
When you get to 50.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're dreaming. You're talking
and that would
about
be your
it.
Age.
You're dreaming. You're talking about a do not resuscitate. It's called a DNR. Mm-hmm. And in the EMT, we're always looking for that. And doctors routinely intervene if they think that there's a possibility, and if they think there's a possibility of somebody staring over their lawyer under every single patient we pick up in the ambulance is a lawyer. And if you think that there's any potential for a mistake to be made, it's like the death penalty. I was all for it, and then they started killing the wrong guy. Well, what if you get a do not resuscitate, and you show up from a traffic accident, and your arm got busted up real good, and somebody goes, well, that's a DNR, let him die. No, the doctor's not going to do that. He's going to do everything to keep you going. And then your own family's going to intervene. Which member of your family would pull the plug if you asked them to, Robin? Do you have one?
I would not allow any family member of mine to have anything to do with my life or death. But I do think it'll be a living will thing. And I do think that we'll be making those decisions for ourselves. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think we'll be making those decisions for ourselves in our relative youth when we are of sound mind. And you can only hope for the best.
I can only hope for the best because I'm of relative good sound mind and youth. I'm young and handsome, right? I sat down with Darth Vader and Sons, my legal team, all of my attorneys. And I said, hey, guys, I do a lot of scary, dangerous things. I'm a licensed jet turbine helicopter pilot. Someday I may fall out of the sky. And nightmare of nightmares, what if I turn into a quadriplegic? Nobody would pull the plug on David Lee Roth. You think you would want to go on page six as the guy who allegedly did it? Would my sister do it? Do you think anybody would want that onus followed up on them? And I have this conversation at extensive length. I'm a rock climber. I've rock climbed in probably 15 different countries. You couldn't pick a more dangerous pursuit except perhaps three road tours with Eddie Van Halen.
In the Quaalude years.
Which prepared me for rock climbing and mountain climbing. And extreme aviation, but I brought this up because my worst nightmare is that I would become a quadriplegic. I'm a go-fast cat. I do this whole show standing up. People don't know that. I don't sit down the entire four-hour show. Then I go home and I go fly after that. I'm a go-fast cat. The worst thing you could do to me is bury me up to the neck in the sand and leave me there. You come back in 3 weeks and admire your handiwork then.
So let me ask you something. Let's say, God forbid, Dave, something does happen and you are rendered a quadriplegic. You want to live, or do you want the right to be able to turn off the light?
I told my sister, give me 110 days, because at first I'm going to be a little angry. But you know, you never know, man. Me, I love watching TV. I love reading.
Now, these are going to be pointing at the remote with your nose cone.
That
though.
Could well be. I've spent a whole lot of time sitting in front of the tube or reading books on the phones, etc. This is all doable things. Playing chess, etc. These are all doable cerebral activities, okay, that a quadriplegic can actually functionally follow through on. And maybe after 110 days, I kind of know me, give it 110, that's metric for 3 months, okay? And if I'm not down with it, pull my plug. Well, we couldn't come up with any way that I could officiate over that. I said, well, could you ship me to Holland? What if I rent my own airplane, my own jet? I'll put aside the money now.
Why couldn't they officiate that?
Because that's committing murder. You can't ship somebody to another country to be killed. That's an accessory to the fact.
Well, now you can go to Oregon, and God bless them. And I hope you can go to Oregon for that. And
yeah, I don't think you can. You know what? I think that they're all going to line up on this. And that ultimately they're going to come down on this. And I don't think it's just the religious right. I think that you have a whole lot of physicians who don't want this kind of a responsibility. Because God forbid somebody steps up and says, no, you could have saved her. No, that was the kind of injury you should just reverse the polarities. That person would be back playing tennis now if it wasn't for you. Whoa, there goes your whole career. I couldn't find a family member who would say, Dave, I would do that for you because you could go to prison for a very long time.
Well, you know, there's another way to do it, too. My mother died a couple of years ago of cancer. She, in my opinion, committed suicide because she knew she had cancer. She refused treatment. Is that suicide?
No, that's do not resuscitate. And I think she's well within her rights to do it. But there's a whole lot of people on my telephones who may well disagree with you. Don't go away. We want to argue with you right after this.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Chegando ao David Lee Roth. É tudo de bom. David Lee Roth, às 6 da manhã.
Play it, Brian. Live in the studio. Suicide music. Roth Radio. We're all going to commit suicide. Where's the Kool-Aid, Sash? We're talking about euthanasia and not why they're all coming here to become disc jockeys. Euthanasia. Hey, pull my plug. I had this discussion with...
Pull my plug, baby.
That's a whole different subject. I'm sorry. I'm back to the starlet who had unusual sex practices. I just can't
and the nine orifices.
I can't get my mind off that boat. Anyway, euthanasia. Do you believe or do you disbelieve? Because I believe that it's the doctors who are going to revile against that. You know, my father was... he used to tell me, God, I couldn't even shoot a BB gun at a bird. There was no way that he could pull the plug on a patient. And this seems to be the routine for most of us. You know, when we talk about it, it's acceptable. Hey, ladies, give me a call out there. Would you pull the plug on one of your kids? Would you be able to pull the plug on your sister? Or would you be able to pull the plug on your husband? Okay, obviously there. There's always a way to rationalize that. But would you be able to pull the plug on one of your kids? Give us a call about that. I got a lot of calls on this one. Let's just go from the top there. Marlon, you want to talk to me about euthanasia? Who's going to pull your plug? Roth Radio, you're on. You there?
Right, yes. Hi, Rob. Long time fan, first time caller. Pretty much, I don't know if I'd like anybody to be able to pull the plug on me. But at the same time, I don't know if I'd like the chance to do it myself.
Yeah, but you're not going to have the chance to do it yourself if, in fact, you come to need that. What's going to happen is you're going to catch multiple sclerosis. You're not going to be able to move your hands. You're going to catch Lou Gehrig's. You're not going to be able to move your feet. You're going to catch AIDS, or, you know, and you're going to become, your immune system is going to disintegrate, and you won't have the strength to even floss your teeth, okay? That's when you're really going to need it. Who will do that for you? Do you have somebody that could do that for you, Marlon?
I would actually, yes, I have my brother. I would give him, I trust him with all my heart. I would let him do whatever he needed to do. If there was an absolute doubt in his mind that I wasn't going to make it, you know, I would let him it would be up to him, and I would agree with anything he would have to say.
Okay, and you've had this discussion with him, and he has already consented that when you ask him, or even more importantly, if you're incapable of asking, that he's going to leave it up to him, and you think he would really do that?
I think if it was in between me suffering and living like a horrible life and dying and being happy, you know, not living anymore, I think he might pull the plug on me.
Okay, well, that's a very cut and dry and kind of black and white approach, and I would agree with you, but that's never what happens. What happens is you fall into that gray zone, the limbo area, and everybody argues about whether or not you are savable. Whether you have a do not resuscitate form filled out, whether or not you've had legal meetings, whether or not you've met with your family, etc. Even if you go on the air on something like this and say, pull my plug after 110 days, if I say it, I'm the guy who could probably say it over the radio. Wheel me in here. Well, the mic won't work that day.
The plug won't work.
I'll get an extra shock. I'll come back to life. No, you can't depend on somebody to do this. And, you know, and that's why I ask, would you be able to do this with a family member? And you seem to really believe that your brother would be able to pull that plug on you. Is that true?
I believe my brother would make the right decision.
Wow, that's a scary answer.
Would you tell your brother what to do? Or would you just leave it up to him?
I would leave it up to him because I believe... I'm really close to my older brother, and I believe he would make the right decision.
But don't you want a say in it?
A very dangerous decision, my friend, because he probably loves you so much that the last thing he wants to do is see Elvis leave the building.
Right, but at the same time, I know he wouldn't want to see me suffer to the point of, like, insanity.
I hope that your brother is up to the specs that you have lavished on him. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. I got somebody who did pull the plug on his brother. Mike, give him up on number 14, Hutch. Roth hey. Radio. Don't mean to make fun. Go ahead, friend.
Hey, Dave.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, about 6 weeks before my wedding, my brother was carjacked, massive head trauma, in a coma for 4 days at Metro Health in Cleveland. The doctors... he tried to do everything they could, but they finally got to the point to say, you know, he's not coming out.
And did you make the decision on your own?
No, actually it was myself and 5 siblings, and what do you call it, a Russian blackball or a Russian vote?
What is that? Explain what that means. I don't know
that. If there's one vote against it, you don't do it.
Oh, okay, so you need unanimous, and that's called a Russian
right.
vote? That's interesting.
The Russian 8-ball or something like that. Anyway, so, or no, you know what? That was for organ donation. That was a whole lot of
Well, at least you didn't get it confused in the back of the ambulance.
Yeah, right. You know, after everything we went through, we went with the guidance of the doctors. We decided to, and I mean, this is my closest brother, my best friend.
How old was he?
At that time, he was 30 years old.
That's young. And everybody decided.
Yeah.
Everybody decided unanimously that you were going to let him go. What religion are you?
I'm Catholic.
And all the siblings, all the other faces there were Catholic as well?
Yeah.
And did this religious issue enter into the decision? Did you fellas or your family discuss this about what bearing does Catholic have on the decision like this?
Yeah, we discussed it, and really it wasn't so much, you know, it was really... down to our belief.
So you skipped over what the Catholic doctrine would say. I'm not even sure what the Catholic, the papacy or whatever would say. What did the Catholic say?
Is that a sin at that point, Mike?
I think at that point there was absolutely no chance of him recovering.
So a priest would say, okay, you're on safe turf to have pulled his plug?
We did talk to a priest.
And what did the priest say?
And the priest said that, you know, if the doctors are saying, and this is the main trauma place in Cleveland, Ohio, and the priest said if the doctors tell you that there is absolutely no hope for recovery, I mean,
acceptable. If there's no hope for recovery and the poor kid has already kind of left the building, then the priest said that was acceptable. All right, I'm going to go to Keith here who says that. Well, I'm going to let Keith express this himself. Roth Radio, you got the spotlight, my friend. Go ahead and speak to this. Dave here, go ahead.
Dave.
Go ahead, Keith.
Listen, I totally disagree. I'm jumping back to that suicide thing. I totally disagree with Robin.
Okay, go ahead and speak to that. Let's hear it.
Okay. Simply because, see, you keep saying, you know, everybody got a right to kill themselves and all the rest of that. But you know what? Think about something. The way you were raised in any religion, the way you were raised, suicide is wrong. Totally wrong. Okay? Now think about something about the human race.
Are you referring? Okay. You just reflected on virtually every religion? Are you referring to virtually every religion? Or are you saying in particular religions do you have in mind?
Well, if you have any kind of religious background,
mm-hmm.
you know that it's wrong to kill.
And what if you don't have a religious background?
And what if your religion is Shiite Islamic and you're in Iran and the code of the martyr, Shahid, it's called, or Shihad. It's not Jihad, which is holy war, but Shihad, which means
right.
holy martyr. And that's how the kids grow up for that. That's a form of suicide, and it's not only applauded, but it's state supported and
okay,
it's religious based.
About America.
This is America, my friend. What do you think America's made up of?
No, I'm not talking about the Shiites. I'm talking about what Robin said about Oregon, right?
Well, I hear what you're saying, Keith, but
not in America?
No, I hear what you're saying, but what about if you were not raised with a religion in America?
In all humanity, everybody is curious. Am I right or wrong?
Everybody is what?
The word.
Humans are curious.
Uh-huh.
I lost the word here.
Okay.
Curious.
Okay, what I'm saying is like, you know, if you said they have the living will. The living mm-hmm. will it states I who have sound mind and body,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
If you're thinking about suicide, you don't have a sound mind, plain and
yep.
simple.
That's not true. That's not true. And many times you're not able to write up your do not resuscitate or your will or whatever until you've already encountered an affliction, until you have a difficulty, until you have a problem for that. Now, what about those people?
No, what I'm saying is the people that want to like kill themselves, I mean, they're sick already, plain and simple. They're sick already.
Well, I think you've made a massive, broad-based, overgeneralized empirical value that covers entire neighborhoods or whatever. Have you ever had an affliction or an illness or something occur with you to the degree where you might have considered that?
Yes, I did.
And is this what led you to believe that it's a sin, or did you almost commit suicide?
No. I almost killed myself.
And you almost killed yourself by accident?
No. I drove my car to the edge of Lake Erie, and I was about to drive in.
And what stopped you from driving in?
My sanity. My sanity. I'm like, you know what? I can't do this, number one.
Why did you want to kill yourself?
Why did you want to kill yourself?
It was love.
You wanted to kill yourself over a woman? You are right. You are not of sound mind, my friend. Thanks for calling anyway. Roth Radio, so good to go. I get another call like that, I'm going to kill myself. Get to the show. Get the sponsor.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.